Good morning. Welcome home to the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Let us take just a moment to anchor ourselves in. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty. One indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And so I give thanks this morning for everyone here for this beautiful day. And this is August. Our theme is creativity, and today's talk is I Made This. I Made This. And boy, is that an awesome topic. So creativity is to evolve from one's thought or imagination, or to cause something to happen as a result of one's actions. Now, my actions this morning have affected this recording, and I'm not sure it's in a good way, but we're going with it anyway. Wayne Dyer said, "From thoughts to feelings to actions, they will all act affirmatively when you stay inspired and get out in front of yourself in ways that are consistent with what you want to become." So he's telling us that thoughts are things, which we have already covered. He's telling us that we create our life by what we think about and what we say and what we do. And he's right. And he even says, whether you think this is possible or impossible, you will be right. So you get to choose if you want to say, yes, what I think about has power. The words that I speak have power to create, to use a power that's greater than we are. It's a power for good. It's here in the universe, and we get to use it, and we do use it over and over and over again. Think about basketball. There was a study done at one point at a college, and they took their basketball players and they put them in two different groups. And they had one group just sit and think for a half hour, visualize themselves making baskets. And they had the other group out on the court throwing baskets for an hour. They did this for a period of time. And at the end, what they found out was those basketball players who had visualized made many more baskets than the basketball players who had actually been throwing baskets. And people go, well, how can that be? And I'll tell you how it can be. Because every time the guys on the court missed the basket, they embedded that, oh, I missed it, in their mind. The guys visualizing never missed a basket. So it wasn't even in their consciousness that they might not make a basket. What we think impacts us. It impacts us in every moment. So creativity is when we use what is available to create something new. Evolution is using creativity to advance and enhance and enrich something like light or communication or writing or transportation. It's a creative process. It's the creative use of something already in existence. If you take it all away, everything will still be created again. Think about communication. Way back, there was a runner. The runner would run from one place to another and tell people. Then there were smoke signals. Then there was charcoal so we could write on rocks or on something else. Then there was a pencil and a pen. There were carrier pigeons. There were scribes. There were scrolls. There was a telegraph. Western Union. Wells Fargo sending the mail. The Pony Express, the telephone, the typewriter for those people who wanted to look professional and didn't write very well. And the typewriter really, really helped businesses and schools. A printing press, so we no longer have to rely on monks. Books, the availability of books, the computer, the internet, the iPhone, the iPad, Facebook, and Kindle. And it all started with thinking. It all started with thinking. Think about light. There's sunlight, there's moonlight, there's fireflies, there's whale oil, there's wax paraffin candles. Well, I guess I missed one. There's sunlight, moonlight, and firelight. There's paraffin candles. There were incandescent light bulbs, halogen light bulbs, neon light bulbs, fluorescent light, and now LED, light-emitting diodes. But you know what happens? If we have a blackout, we go right back to moonlight and candles. I'm going to tell you something I saw this week about LED lights. It looked like a scientific report, and I apologize for not going down the rabbit hole to find out if it was actually true or not. So I'm going to tell you what I saw, and then I'm going to look it up later this week. LED lights can be self-activated. When you get them high enough up into our Earth's atmosphere, this report said if they're 12 feet high, they will light themselves from the ambient energy in the atmosphere. And I was trying to figure out how tall are the streetlight poles? Are they 12 feet tall? Do they have LED lights? And then I was thinking about my yard. How tall is my house? And should I try this by getting an LED light and putting it outside my window upstairs to see if it will light itself in the dark? So I can do that. I can experiment with that. And if it becomes light, I can say, I made this. I made this show up as light. Why? Why just do things like this work? Everything in existence that man has made has been a creative use of something already in existence. Everything. There is already something in existence. And if we go way back, it was simply energy. The energy, the divine intelligence that created all that is, that we are a part of it. But if we take away everything that we have created, it will simply be created again. And why is that? It's because the knowledge and the wisdom is already available in our one mind. So if we take away the light, we can say, oh, get a new light bulb. We can recreate light. We can make it light inside again. If we say, oh, we're out of gas in our car, we can put in more gas and the car will run again. But if the whole world were to lose everything, then the global universal mind still has all these things in itself. And so somebody will come along and be inspired, have a thought that everything we think can only come from the source. Everything is already made invisibly. Somebody will think of it, or a group of people will think of it, and it will be created. Think about the radio. People say, well, Marconi invented the radio, or you know, three or four different people in different countries, some Scottish guy, some American guy, they all say, no, I invented the radio. You know why? because the idea for the development of the radio was strong in the entire essence, in the mind of the divine. It was time for the radio to be invented. And so these different people caught on to that idea and did their work and created this thing. Now, it was a little bit different with each one of them, but it still was a radio. It still was transmitting information that could be heard. It could be said in one place and heard in another. We're surrounded by a creative intelligence. We call it an infinite sea of unobstructed life. And Ernest Holmes refers to it as the one power and presence of spirit that we are immersed in. And we know that all thought is creative. In our science of mind teaching, we understand that the universal mind takes the impress of our thought and acts upon it. Here's our thought. Here's the universal mind acting on it. And here's where it comes out as what we have conceived. That's why it's so important to think about what we're thinking about. Because what we think about comes about. I want to share with you a little story. And it has to do with perception. Many years ago, there was a politician on a campaign trail talking to a bunch of small business owners. And this politician had in his mind the idea that stuff that was already made had been made available to all these business owners to do their own thing. But the words that he used became a joke for some people, because he talked to these people, own small business, plumbers, builders, all these, and he said, "You didn't make this. You did not make this." His perception was the origin of stuff needed to build a business was already there. There were roads, there were vehicles, there were tools. This particular group of small business owners were offended. So when you're speaking, know your audience. But that whole situation created a new cottage industry. How many of you have seen little images of politicians or actors or somebody going like this, and the little caption is, "I made this." And, you know, it's used for good for somebody to take credit. It's used for bad to say, blame that person. Doesn't matter. But that industry of "I made this" stickers came out of that situation with a politician. So we as human beings are always looking at things. Everything that has ever been created, somebody had to do it. Somebody had to do it. It is our human nature, or is it divine inspiration, to tweak whatever there is and make it better or easier or apply it in an innovative manner. There are some inventions that have changed history, and I just want to share a few of them with you. The steam engine. Cars, airplanes, factories, trains, spacecraft, none of these transportation methods would have been possible if not for the early breakthrough of the steam engine. The first practical use of external combustion dates back to 1698. Way back. When Thomas Savery developed a steam-powered water pump. And steam engines were then perfected in the late 1700s by James Watt and went on to fuel one of the most momentous technological leaps in human history during the Industrial Revolution. Now, James Watt was not the only one. There were a lot of people working on steam engines and working on creating a steam engine that could go in a boat so that we didn't have to just have sailboats to go from, say, the United States to Europe, or from Europe to the United States. To go that distance was like months, 6 weeks to 3 months for somebody to travel. And it was all based on what they had to go through with the winds and the tides, and they didn't have a telegraph where they could say, "Mayday, mayday, strong tides, come and save me." So traveling was a risky business. Once we got steam engines in the boats, it took less time. And therefore, intercontinental trade, global trade, improved. Now, they start out saying that steam was an external combustion engine. When I was growing up, we had gasoline-powered internal combustion engines, and that's the type of an engine in a vehicle that I learned to drive on. Now we have hybrid or we have electric-powered engines. All of these engines, the internal parts, to propel all of these different creative external things. Henry Ford, he could say, "I made this," even though he did not sit there and make every single Model A by himself. He made this company. He employed these people who used their skills to create things. But it was his brainchild. When it is our brainchild, we can say, "I made this." Like all of those small business owners, the plumbers and the contractors and the different guys, this was my brainchild to look at what is available to me, what my community needs, how I can benefit both my community and me, and support my family and my neighbors. And it's all my brainchild, each of them knowing this is my brainchild. And I get excited over that because I have had a couple of small businesses over the years, and as hobbies, really, because I had my big career and all of that. But all these different things that I did were side jobs, something that looked interesting and exciting. So I would say, "I can do that." And I would do it, and I would be successful until I got tired of it. And then it would drop off, and I thought, well, how convenient. Now that I'm tired of it, it's dropping off, and I will let it go and see if I want to do something else later. For instance, I was a Tupperware lady. I was someone who gathered merchandise together and then sold it to people on the internet. This is before Amazon. So I had things that I could electronically access and then make them for sale through my own website. So that was fun. I also, I worked in the prayer ministry. Now I'm a minister, but all this is my side job, all of these things. I'm a research engineer. Me and computers, we've been together since the early 60s. So one of these other innovations that changed history, and on this website it says, a criminally underappreciated innovation. And I laughed at that. Criminally underappreciated innovation. It's the transistor. It's an essential component in nearly every modern electronic gadget. It was first developed in late 1947 by Bell Laboratories, and tiny semiconductor devices allow for precise control of the amount of flow and current through circuit boards. In the 1960s, I learned about capacitors and resistors while my dad was building computer circuit boards in our living room. So, yeah, I got into this really early. Another innovation was steel. Did you know that there's evidence of them having steel tools 4,000 years ago? We've got the Stone Age, the Bronze Age, the Iron Age. But it wasn't until we had the ability to mass produce steel that it then became a foundation for building our cities, building bridges, building all kinds of things, and even building cars. And pots and pans. My stainless steel pans, I love them. There's all kinds of fancy pans here and there. I grew up with the stainless steel waterless cookware that back in the day, they would have house parties and some guy would come out selling pans and he'd make a dinner for everybody in those pans in your kitchen while you had your neighbors over. I have not found another kind of pan that is as versatile for me to use as stainless steel pans. So whoever had the idea to make stainless steel pans and could say, I made this, it was like, thank you, I am so grateful. I am so very grateful. All of this is available because of the creative nature of the universe. Erwin E. Gregg was the founder of the Divine Science Federation International. And what that is an organization that people who are divine scientists can join, and their churches and their teachers and their practitioners and all of this. Ernest Holmes, when he was studying metaphysics, was a divine scientist. But he then went on to found religious science, science of mind. But he started out in the same area, one of these same New Thought groups. But Erwin Gregg said, the purpose of our teaching is to familiarize the individual with the nature of being, of our creator and creation, and to help us realize that we live in the greatness of eternity here and now, as well as hereafter. As we learn to live in concord with the truths of being, we find that the law of good is continually active and is working for us. Working for us. That's the divine urge that is moving through us. And in this little book, How to Speak the Science of Mind by Dr. Dennis Merritt Jones, he talks about the divine urge. In fact, he asks the question, what is the intention of the divine urge? There is an inner impulse to grow that permeates the essence of all things. In the Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes referred to that inner impulse to push out as the divine urge, the inner desire to express life, the desire to do and to accomplish more. It is that eternally progressive spirit of unfoldment. Dr. D writes, the divine urge moves through every living creature, and its voice perpetually whispers in our ear, grow, grow, grow. Because the divine urge is driven by the universal impulse to push out and to create more without judging what it is creating. It is up to us to determine what more shall look like. I want to tell you another little story. Once upon a time, there was a group of atheist scientists who kept insisting God didn't exist, and they were going to prove it by creating life, creating a man, just like God did, to say that, see, God really didn't have anything special about it. So they go to God and they say, you have to kind of stretch your imagination here and think, God's got an office. Okay, so they go to God's office. And they say, hey, God, we figured out how to create man so that we can prove you're not all that great. And God says, oh, okay, go ahead. They go off, they collect all their ingredients and their tools and their chemicals, and they return to God with a wheelbarrow, with all this stuff, including a wheelbarrow full of dirt. And they start to put things together, and God says, make your own dirt. So, anyway, that's just kind of funny. It's like, we think we're so awesome. We can create anything with all of these things that are available to us, and we can. But the stuff, the raw materials, there's a source. And we can call it God, we can call it spirit, we can call it the creator, the creation, we can call it whatever it is, but it is that power and that presence, that infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And guess what? We are part of creation. It's flowing through us. Big time, it's flowing through us. Reverend Rath Youngman wrote, I was created from an embryo. Originally a simple biological entity, this tiny embryo embodied my full potential. It developed within its ever-changing environment over many years to become what I am today, nurtured by the generousness of divine mind. The embryo contains completely the essence of that which created it. Think about that. They say, here's the embryo, and it's got the DNA from the mother and the father, and so that is what is going to create this human being. So the embryo contains completely the essence of that which created it. All that is inherent in divine mind, love, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, power, life, and joy. As I remain open in my daily living, to learn and experience more of these qualities, I understand that this is the core of my being. This is the essence of who I am. I find this truth expressed everywhere, and especially in the great scriptures of the world. That's one of the reasons we say we are interfaith, because we acknowledge and believe in many of the things that are in the great scriptures of the world. The core of every faith is the same, the mystics show us. It's what humankind has described or made rules about or anything like that. That's the stuff that's different, religion to religion, not the core truth. Everything that has ever been created, somebody had to do it. Emeril Lagasse says, if you don't follow your dream, who will? If you don't follow your dream, who will? Think about all those different guys who were developing the radio at the same time. The thought was out there. It became their dream. We are all that is. When we look at our life, we can say, I made this life. Now, we made it the way it is. And as surely as we can draw on the chalkboard of life what we want to do and be, we also control the eraser. So we can erase, we can let go of things that are no longer serving, thoughts that are not working in our life, and have a new thought. Create a new thought. It's up to you. I made some cookies. I didn't create the ingredients, but I put them together to make something new. The same is true for sewing, for being a painter, for construction. We didn't create the trees, but we know how to plant and grow and harvest them. We get to choose what we want to make of our own lives. And so I thank you for your time and for your attention.